How many of you in the last year have lost somebody? Quite a few people, huh? How many of you have lost somebody that is dear to you? Death touches everybody. There's not one hand that can stay down. At every funeral that I have here, and I had one last week, before the official service begins and the family is gathered at the casket right over there in the main vestibule, I say some very informal things. I say something like, death is one of those moments when we have no choice but to stand in God's presence. We have no choice but to entrust our loved one into God's hands. Till a person has died, we can do everything in our power. We can spend all the money we have, we can give them all the care, we can love them, we can talk to them, but once the person has died, the only word that describes that situation is helplessness. There's nothing. We can be the richest people on the face of the earth. Once the person has died, we can do nothing. And so, I asked the family, I said, please find the courage to entrust your loved one into God's holy hands, because with us is death and with God is life. Passages such as the one that we have in today's gospel reading assume great significance, particularly if right now your heart is aching because of someone you have loved has died. As I said in the introduction, we can approach this passage in the context of the readings from the last two weeks, the Samaritan woman and the blind man who made the confession that, Jesus, I believe that you're the Christ. Today, though, I want to talk not so much about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the resurrection, but I want to talk about Jesus, in whom Mary and Martha believe. I'm going to focus on three verbs that describe Jesus, but they also describe what God has accomplished in Jesus. And those three verbs are, first, Jesus loved. Secondly, Jesus wept. And thirdly, Jesus cried out. First, Jesus loved. Twice at the beginning of this gospel reading, you hear about Jesus' love for this family. First, when the messengers came to Jesus to tell him about Lazarus, they said, Master, the one you love is ill. They didn't say Lazarus is ill. The one you love is ill. And then we are told, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Again, that Jesus loved them. And there's one more time when Jesus wept, people looked at Jesus weeping and said, see how he loved Lazarus. Three times you hear about Jesus' love. Now, why does John include this detail? Is that detail necessary to the story? There are many other healings that Jesus did, and there's nothing talked about Jesus' love. But in this story, John includes that detail. Perhaps the scripture passage that can help us understand why John includes this detail is John chapter 3, verse 16. John had already said at the beginning, not just of the story, but the beginning of the gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So the introduction, the preamble is already made in John chapter 3. We are now in John chapter 11. Then Paul also understands Christ's mission as an act of God's love. He says, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus today in love stands before the last frontier to be conquered in his saving work. And that last frontier is death. Only love will conquer death. Only love. And not just any love. Only God's love can conquer death. So I think what's happening here is, on the one hand, real, but on the other hand, very symbolic. Lazarus and the tomb symbolizes human death. And Jesus' love for this family symbolizes God's love for all humanity. Not just for Lazarus. This is symbolic of the entire human race. If you and I have any hope for our deceased ones, and I always tell the families as they are leaving this church, I hope you're leaving in peace, with hope. Because we always leave from here with the hope that we will see our loved one again. No one goes out in despair after a Catholic funeral, nobody. You always go in hope. And folks, the only hope that we have is this: God's love. God loves us in life and beyond life. God loves us in death. Thank God that Jesus dared to love, and to love in the way that he did. Secondly, Jesus wept. Perhaps I may sound like a record that is repeating again and again, but I have shared with you in the past my greatest fear, that I may be alone when I die. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm just afraid of being alone in that moment. And the reason this happened was, I was at at least three or four funerals, and one happened just last week, where this person died alone. And when this happened to me the first time, that experience shattered me. And I called my niece right away, because I mean, I don't have kids, right? I don't have people to. So I called my niece right away and I said, you better make sure that I never die alone, right? And my niece immediately goes to my sister-in-law, what's happening to him? And so I get a call back, what the heck is going on? Are you dying? No, I'm not dying. Just make sure I'm not alone when I die. That's all I'm saying. Because I was that shaken up. But then the other thing that happens to me is beyond shattering is sadness. Honestly, I can't judge. I don't know why this person is dying alone, but we are social beings. We are born into a community. Everything that we do as a community. Our birthdays is our community event. Weddings are community, graduations, anything that we do, we have people. And so it is, in my estimation, so sad when somebody dies alone, because we are social beings. Now, the reason I'm talking about my sadness is because it has given me an insight into the sadness of Jesus and his weeping. Why does Jesus weep? On a very human level, I think he wept for his friend. Don't we do that? He wept for his friend. He was also feeling the grief of Mary and Martha. He wept because he loved them. On a divine level, though, I think Jesus wept in solidarity with the entire human race. It's like when someone that dies and I feel the grief, Jesus is not sitting up somewhere there and saying, poor you. No, he's actually by our side weeping with us. I think Jesus was telling the world that God understands our grief, and that is why God did what God did, because God understands our grief. Just as Jesus stood by Martha and Mary, God stands by us in our grief. But more importantly, and this is my own revelation, I'm sure other people have had this revelation before, but this was, I get things late sometimes, but this is my revelation. I believe that even when people die alone, they are not alone. Jesus is beside every dying person, leading them to eternity. Now I know that even if no one is beside me when I die, I'm not alone. God is there. Jesus is there. And that takes away much fear. Thank God Jesus loved. Thank God Jesus wept. And thirdly, Jesus cried out. John tells us that Jesus was perturbed. He tells us that not once but twice. It's a strong word. It's a mixture of almost sadness and anger and being disturbed. He was perturbed at the tomb, and he cried out in a loud voice, "Father," "Father, you hear my prayer." So he has that beautiful prayer there. I think John is making a statement by talking about Jesus being perturbed. Jesus's crying out is a sign of what I'm calling divine anguish. Jesus was anguished at the destruction and grief that death causes. The destruction that you and I know what death does to us. Oh my gosh. It can destabilize our lives. And Jesus looks at what death is doing and he's anguished. Only he can do something about it. No one else can. Only Jesus can do something about his death. And so he makes his confession. "Yes, Lord, I've come to believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." In other words, standing in the front of the tomb of Lazarus was not just another man. This was Jesus, the Son of God, who was standing there. And he loved the people, and he wept for them, and he's anguished at what death is doing to them, and he cries out and he says, "Lazarus, come out." But Jesus cried out one more time on the cross. Jesus cried out and said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he says, "It is finished." And then John tells us that once Jesus says it is finished, he handed over his spirit. At that moment, today's prophecy from Ezekiel is fulfilled. "I will put my spirit in you that you may live." I will put my spirit, and Jesus hands over that spirit at his death. The anguish is over. Death has been conquered. Because of God's anguish, you and I today, for those that have died before us and for ourselves, we can believe this. There is no death. We move from life to life. So the ones that you put your hands up for and said you've lost them, we haven't lost them. They haven't died. They have moved from life to life. And one day we'll join them as long as we can say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the one who has come into the world." May the souls and souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.